You're listening to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
You know, I love Tennessee. I got a lot of orange blood in my body.
Welcome. Another stellar edition of The Drive underway. Fan Run Radio. Coming to you live this afternoon from one of our favorite places to be. Oh, it's Old Ben Franklin Motors. Fantastic on this Wednesday afternoon. Welcome in. Russell Smith live in West Knoxville. Bear and Trey joining from parts unknown. Bear, good afternoon. How are you, sir?
I'm doing just fine. Russell, how are you?
Fantastic. Trey Wallace, what's up?
Good afternoon. Hope everybody's well on this Wednesday. We're a couple days away from kickoff.
Absolutely, man. It is fantastic, and we got a lot to talk about, a lot to unpack. All right, good news, bad news. What do you want first, Bear? Let me hit you with the good news first. How about that? Let's start off on a positive. Good news, we found Greg Sankey. We found him. That's good news, right?
Yeah. We thought it might be, but it wasn't rough.
Well, that's the good news. We found him. He does, in fact, exist. He is taking phone calls. We got him off the golf course, out of the dentist chair, wherever he's been. We've got him. Bad news is he still won't make a decision. He will not. Like, they put a gun to his head. This guy cannot make a call. He cannot make a call one way or the other. He just won't say. Trey, what do you make of this? And let's hit the reset button for Cade Mays. Fantastically talented offensive lineman. Played at Catholic right up the street. Like maybe a mile as the crow flies from Old Ben Franklin Motors where we are this afternoon. Goes to Georgia, caught up, he's longtime Tennessee commitment. This kid was born to wear the orange and white. Gets caught up in the coaching search debacle of 2017. Makes the, in my opinion, completely understandable decision not to come here. Goes to play for Sam Pittman, who just happened to be at Georgia. Sam Pittman leaves. Tennessee stabilizes. He decides he wants to come home. He hasn't graduated yet. He comes home to Knoxville, Tennessee. Transfers in. He's in good academic standing as far as we know. We know he's a great player. He wants to play immediately. NCAA says no. Tennessee appeals. NCAA says yes. Now it goes to the SEC. And Greg Sankey, I guess he is just going to die on this hill of, well, rules are rule. SEC traditionally will not allow, not even traditionally, they've never allowed players, undergraduates, to transfer within the conference without having to sit out a year. That's his position, and he's sticking to it to satisfy Kirby Smart. Is that the long and short of it?
I would think that makes the most sense. But did you hear his interview this morning? Did you hear the whole thing?
I did not. I mean, I read the quotes and. I don't know. What do you make of that? He won't answer the question.
I make of it that he does not want intra-conference transfers to be happening this year. Just doesn't want it, period. He doesn't want to have to make that decision. And it's unfortunate, but I got that feeling from him. I did.
If that's his feeling, why are we sitting here parsing his words, reading tea leaves like we're fortune tellers or something? This guy's supposed to be a strong leader. He's got an important job, right? Well paid, well educated. Up until this point, he's, I don't think Tennessee fans or any fans have had a lot of arrows to shoot at him, but why can't he just, if that's the way he feels, why can't he just say no? Why can't he say this is the rule and these three players, Cade Mays and the other two players that are going to Kentucky and Ole Miss respectively, cannot play and that's the end of it? Why can't he say that? We're 3 days away from kickoff.
I don't know. That's the tricky part. He went back. I listened to the interview, man. He really went back on what the athletic directors had voted on years ago about interconference transferring. He really stuck to his guns on that one, man. It didn't let up during the interview.
Here's the problem, Bear.
What's that, Russ?
This has now become a distraction. And because the door, it's not open, it's not shut, it's just halfway, and he won't make a call. And that's part of being a leader, is making hard decisions, difficult decisions, but making them and then being able to stand by it, not being like the Big Ten where, oh, we're going to play. No, actually, we're not going to play. Oh, yeah, we are going to play. You can't waffle back and forth. People lose confidence in you, right?
Right.
He won't just make the call. Listen, if the call is no, we're going to be mad about it and we'll burn it down, but we'll eventually get over it and we'll move on to the season, and maybe he'll play next year. We don't know. But you make the call, man. You got to make a decision at some point, and you can't just be all wishy-washy and, well, this is the rule, because he's basically saying, why don't the schools change it? Like, he's leaving the door kind of open, and we still don't know. When Jeremy Pruitt's on the teleconference today saying, well, I guess we have to know by Friday when we get on the plane. I mean, it's become an absurd situation.
That's the first time we're saying he's mishandled something. I mean, if he knew about this rule back in the spring, and if this was a stance he was going to take, he should have just made a statement back then and just said, look, you know, there's a rule in place that every member school, I mean, it passed unanimously. I mean, you take out these three kids out of it, it would pass again tomorrow unanimously. They don't want the coaches. Nobody wants interconference transfers to be immediately eligible.
Well,
except for the three schools that this year.
I know three of them that do, which brings me to my next point. Last year, when it was Aubrey Solomon and Juroš Plavšić, particularly Solomon, I said half jokingly, just play him. Why are we waiting on the NCAA? Just play him. What are they going to do? And then the Memphis situation happened with James Wiseman, and now their program is kind of torpedoed here. And okay, that's why I'm a knucklehead doing a radio show and not making these decisions like the coaches and athletics directors. I get that. But this situation is a little bit different. We're not talking about thumbing your nose at the NCAA. You're talking about thumbing your nose at the SEC. What's Greg Sankey going to do? And what's the SEC going to do if Mark Stoops, Jeremy Pruitt, and talk about bizarre and unholy alliances, Tennessee and Lane Kiffin uniting. What if these three programs get together and say, we're just going to play our guys, and if they want to punish us, they're going to have to do it to all three of us? And at the end of the day, what can they do? It's not the NCAA. They can't put you on probation. They can't take – if Tennessee or somehow backdoor into Atlanta this year –
They can suspend you from league play.
I'm sorry?
They could – completely wrecked your entire season. They could suspend you from league play.
The entire team?
The entire team? Yeah. If you go against him on something like this, against the conference?
It'd be like high school. But I think Bear's right. It'd be like high school. You play an ineligible player, you forfeit the game.
If all three
I didn't think they'd let you play him. They'd just suspend you. From conference play.
All three teams do it simultaneously. They're going to they're blowing up three games. They're telling their TV partners, sorry, we're not going to be providing you with inventory this weekend.
I don't think that's a pissing match sorry for my crude language, that the three universities want to get into with the conference.
You're going to tell the University of Kentucky, the premier basketball program in this conference, we're going to go to battle with them.
Over the football team? No way in hell. Yeah, they don't want the SEC looking under the hood of their basketball program.
What do you mean the SEC? Like, they don't have an investigative. Let's
Let's not act like the SEC's powerless to mete out punishment and retribution for disobeying them directly like that.
What are they going to do?
Oh, yeah, they could.
What are they going to do? They're really going to tell us we can't play a game. They're going to say, no, you, sorry, SEC Network, no game. Jeremy, Greg Sankey's going to turn his back on all that money?
I think you're espousing a very dangerous idea here, Russ. You're fomenting revolution.
Am I? Maybe it's time to
be very reckless. They aren't going to do that. They're just going to. Cade's not going to make the trip, and Cade won't play this year. Same thing at Ole Miss. Same thing at Kentucky. They aren't going to buck the SEC on this. That's not going to happen.
You might be right, but then again, I might be crazy. Am I slipping into a Billy Joel song all of a sudden?
Oh, you're crazy.
You might be. There'd be a better chance of you convincing me to drive in a car with you and Trey from New York to L.A. than there is of them ever bucking the SEC on that.
We'd have
that ain't
going to
happen. I mean, it's just not going to happen, dude.
Not with that attitude, it's not.
I mean, it's not even about that, Russ. I mean, I choose to live in what I like to call reality. The reality is the SEC says they're not going to, you know. I mean, it's really clear cut. I wish he'd come out and make a statement. But there is a rule there specifically about this. That was passed unanimously by all 14 member schools.
Well, clearly three of them are having second thoughts. And it's not very clear.
No, they are. Nobody's disputing that fact.
Well, and it's not very
clear. But this isn't
NOM,
Russell. There are rules.
The commissioner won't come out and make a ruling. I feel like the mob's in Office Space. What exactly is it you do here, Greg?
He basically did. He said that there's a rule against it. What's there to make a ruling on? Have they filed an appeal at the SEC office?
Yeah.
What did we file with the SEC? Does anybody know that?
Okay. Well, why not just say that? Why not just say that? There's a rule, and these three players, why say we're working through it and we hope to have an answer and all the other things he said, all the word salad he threw out there? Why not just be definitive? Why not just be a leader? Why not just make a decision?
That part about it, I don't know. He got some bad advice from somebody. Somebody should tell him, look, we probably need to go ahead and make something really concrete and definitive. I'm not disagreeing with you there. I just can't. The other part of your let's just play him and dare him to do anything to us, I don't think it'll work in this situation. They just aren't going to do that.
Well,
they're not going to burn those bridges.
Then we might not.
That would be napalm. That would be napalm.
And Kentucky will have to go through another year with Terry Wilson. I don't think it would be napalm. I think in any other year, if this were last year and you're going it alone and it's normal circumstances, but I think in 2020 with no fans in the stands, with these athletics departments desperate, with Ohio State saying they're going to take $100 million loss today, and with two other schools that could conceivably go with you, that could conceivably take the leap with you. I don't think it's that far-fetched. Folks, we talk about a new season, the excitement of a new football season that is upon us. We can take a second to talk about the excitement of a new car. It's exciting stuff, man. So many people think that they can't afford one. They think it's beyond their means or whatever. Well, I'm here to tell you differently. Right here at Old Ben Franklin Motors, 9711 Kingston Pike, new car is within your means. It is within your reach. It is within your grasp. The new Mitsubishi Mirage. Ladies and gentlemen, it's fantastic. A brand new car. There's something about it, man. The way the paint gleams, the way it looks, the way it smells inside, the way it feels when you drive it, the tightness of the steering, the tightness of the brakes, the acceleration of it, it's exhilarating. And you can experience that right now, right here at Old Ben Franklin Motors. You can get a 75-month payment plan set up, $1,000 down. Most of y'all probably got that in your couch, right? $1,000. You bring it down here at Old Ben Franklin Motors, they're going to set you up brand new Mitsubishi Mirage. Excellent credit, great. Your payment's going to be $200 a month, $199 a month. Good credit, $239 a month. Fair credit, $269 a month. You got bad credit, you can still get it for $319 a month. They're going to set you up right here, Old Ben Franklin Motors, across from Franklin Square, the Chop House. Call down here, ask them about it. They'll tell you. 865-693-9315. That's 693-9315. And online at oldbenfranklinmotors.com. Now, we're going to take a quick timeout. When we come back, we're going to go to the phones here. 546-8200. Only been saying it for 5 years. The G3 Help Me Hotline, ladies and gentlemen. It's open. 546-8200. Cade Mays still twisting in the wind as we are a little over 72 hours away from kickoff in Columbia. Stay with us. The drive continues. It's Fan Run Radio. Your phone calls coming up.
The Drive.
Radio, 865-546-8200, your number to get on the G3 Help Me Hotline. Help me understand why we are sitting here Wednesday at 3:24 with no official ruling on the Cade Mays situation yet. Help me help you understand this afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Big Josh is up first today. Good afternoon, Big Josh. You're on the drive. It's Fan Run Radio.
Hey, Russ, Bear, Trey. What's going on, fellas?
What's up, dude?
Not a whole lot.
I think you're kind of looking at this wrong, Russ. The SEC, it's kind of the goose that laid a golden egg to these head coaches and athletic directors. They're never going to rock the boat that much. There's no way they would ever buck that system, that keeps paying them that kind of money. But I'd say if you want to get it changed in about 15 minutes, those kids' teammates say we're not playing unless these kids can play, that would get it done.
Ooh.
And then like that kid at Ole Miss, where he just came off the top rope on Kirby. Just absolutely unbelievable.
How does that strike you, Bear? You say, I'm fomenting revolution. What about Big Josh saying, what if the players just, what if they decide we're not coming on that pedal?
I mean, they could do that. I think what we haven't mentioned yet is the more stuff that comes out. Yeah, I was having this conversation before the show. I was talking with the Vol Rumor Mill, Houston Kress, and we were talking that a lot of the stuff coming out about Kirby makes him kind of sound very, very similar to somebody we used to know and have as our head coach, one Lyle Allen Botch Jones.
That kid, though, Bear – Tom Mars, that tweet he put out, man. I mean, these coaches have to be using that stuff. I mean, they made Athens look like some bro country racist hellhole. You know what I'm saying?
Walks like a duck and talks like a duck, Josh.
I mean, I don't see no way he gets cleared to play. Any other options that, unless the kids buck the system. Do you?
Yeah, Samir Russ. I don't think so, Russell. right?
Well, I feel like he could have put a lid on it today. If that's the case and it's just not going to happen, he could have been firm about it today publicly and it could have been over. But he didn't do that. And so now we've got our coach going out there saying, well, I guess if he's declared eligible before the plane leaves Friday, he can play. And so I don't know. I mean, I tend to agree with you guys. It looks pretty bleak at this point. But as long as there's a chance, you know that they're still going to be fighting for it.
Well, what's sad about it is, you know, more than likely he's going to go pro next year. This would probably be his one opportunity to play a season with his brother. I mean, you got a pandemic going raging, so the season doesn't even count against your eligibility, but it's somehow it counts against these transfers. It's just kind of backwards, you know. So,
well, and
I don't know.
As somebody just pointed out on Twitter, Brian, I believe it was, said, "Hey, there's a rule against this, but you're allowed to file a waiver. Why would you be allowed to file a waiver if the rule couldn't possibly be changed?" Right? There was a time when grad transfers weren't allowed within the conference, weren't allowed immediate eligibility, within the conference. But we had one. Maurice Smith filed for a waiver to transfer from Alabama to Georgia, Kirby's first year there. And it was granted. They changed the rule. They made an exception. So of all years, if you're going to make an exception, if you're not going to do it in this play, in this circumstance, why have the waiver at all?
And why go through this whole process if you're leaning on this vote? I mean, exactly. I didn't see a vote for this damn schedule they came out with. I didn't see nobody voting on that schedule. He just made that decision. You know,
funny how that works out. Big Josh, I mean, if they're going to fall back on it's the conference rule and the member institutions voted for it, why didn't you say that a month ago? Why are we having this conversation now?
Yeah, it seems like a lot of it goes back to Athens, Georgia to me. I mean, two of the kids came from there. So I'd be hammering that. I'd be calling every news media guy. I'd be wanting some stories written. I don't know. Anyway, I want to celebrate my Braves winning their third straight division title, celebrate the end of this season before we get put out in the first round. Hopefully I can get in some enjoyment out of it before it ends. But y'all hang in there. Take care. See
you. Thank you, Big Josh. Enjoy your championship. Enjoy your banner. Winners win. It's what the Braves do in the regular season anyway. That would be my advice to Braves fan is just, hey, the season's over. You won. Forget about what happens next. What are you, a glutton for punishment? Bear, it's a good point. The rule, Kirby Smart had no problem bucking tradition, becoming the first to say, hey, Maurice Smith needs to play. You should be able to play immediately. And the SEC granted it. From Alabama, by the way. So this is not a we're not gonna let Nick, we're not gonna go against St. Nick. They ruled against him once.
I don't think this is a precedent they want to set. You know, the grad transfers, there's really it's really hard to argue against a grad transfer, even interconference, just because of, I mean, that's a student athlete going above and beyond. You've already got your undergrad degree. They can rationalize it because, you know, the student athlete has done their part to complete, you know, their end of the bargain. They've gotten their undergraduate degree. I think it's all about precedent, and they don't want to see a situation where it's a free-for-all. And so it's a slippery slope. I mean, I've said it all along. I want to see him play really badly this fall. I don't know if I would be willing to open the Pandora's box of open immediate eligibility transfers within the conference. I just think that would be a nightmare scenario.
Wow. Well, we will agree to disagree there. Let's get Big, or that was Big Josh. This is DR Vall. Good afternoon, DR Vall. You're on the G3 Help Me Hotline. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, guys. Russ, does National RX sell athletic cups? Because mine's worn out.
They absolutely do. You go down there and get yourself a supporter and the piece to go inside it as well.
Okay, I will make sure and head that way next Friday when I'm in town. You know, as far as being led along with all this, I get what you're saying about they should have told us a month ago, but, hey, we're Tennessee fans, Russ. We're used to this. John Curry could have shot down the John Gruden rumors for 3 months.
Well, that's a good point. I mean, this is Greg Sankey taking a page out of the John Curry PR playbook here. It did not end well for him, as I recall. Always better to be transparent. If the answer is no, say it loudly from the highest mountaintop and move on.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. He's just the most indecisive person, which unfortunately to me, I take it as a no comment, I guess you could say, is the decision he's making. He's just going to blame it on the rule. What hurts to me is it's Cade Mays. You know, 4 or 5 years ago, we thought we were going to get him, and some idiot Yankee was our coach, so we didn't get him, and we finally think we're going to get to see him for 1 year, and now this falls through. I think if it was anybody else, it wouldn't hurt as bad. Because, I mean, you just said he was born to wear orange, and, you know, Bear talks about how well he knows the Mays family and watched those kids growing up.
I mean, it definitely sucks, just the whole thing. I mean, you know, I mean, he's a top five player at his position, if not one of the top players in the nation in his class, and it just Tennessee luck. You know, it was burning down, and he decided to go to Georgia.
Well, again, if this were a year ago, or any point in the past couple of years, we wouldn't be having the conversation because we understand the rule. And it is what it is. We know he'd have to sit out. He probably wouldn't have transferred. And that's another thing. He wouldn't have transferred if he didn't think that he would be declared eligible immediately. And he wouldn't have tried this in years past. So it's just it's disrespectful to him. It's disrespectful to the young man who's trying to get eligible over at Ole Miss, disrespectful to Gatewood. It's just that makes sense.
It also doesn't help that you have certain people trying to put stuff out. What did I tell you guys earlier in the week? I told you I got a text from somebody in Tennessee, and that text said, and I'll go back and read it to you guys regarding the Cade Mays situation. It said it's not going to help. I'm sure our fans will pressure him, which might cause more harm than good. What happened today? Just plain stupidity happens today, and you're not helping your situation.
Oh, hold on,
with Greg's.
Hold on. What we say that shouldn't matter at all. We're just.
I'm not talking about us.
Anybody, people on Twitter, people on Facebook, people emailing like that. That shouldn't matter.
Yeah. Greg's, yeah. I understand that, but it still doesn't help the situation.
Well, it doesn't help.
That's weak leadership, then, if you're that worried about the public. I don't get that. If what some idiots are saying on Twitter, that's what you're going to base your decision off of?
Well, you go back and look what happened with Otis Reese last night. So I was talking with somebody last night. After he put that out from Ole Miss, I texted somebody in the SEC office, and I said, this had to be approved by Kiffin and Ole Miss, correct? And they said, absolutely. So you had Ole Miss go on the offensive last night, and I'm just wondering where this thing is going to fall in the middle when it comes to Greg Sankey. Because Tennessee tried it today. Let me rephrase that. A former Tennessee player tried it today. He tried to do the same thing in a way that happened last night with Otis Reese, and it backfired in his face. So you see what I'm kind of going with this?
Yeah, I'm always going to feel better when Eric Ainge is on our front line, guys.
But he's not – he's not currently affiliated with the University of Tennessee. That is pretty.
Yes, he is.
How?
He does a show over there. He's doing some pregame show over there through the University of Tennessee. He's on their network. It's their affiliates, their flagship station.
Do you think that Pruitt and or Fulmer signed off on?
I think Fulmer made a phone call to Eric Ainge around 12:30 today and told him to shut the hell up, and that's why that tweet was deleted.
Okay, well, but you can see how that's in direct contradiction to the situation you just described at Ole Miss, where you're saying Lane Kiffin had to sign off on it.
No. I agree with you on that part. But what I am saying is you're having people that are affiliated with places start to make their feelings known because we're getting to the last minute. Does that make sense? I think hopefully that clarifies a little better.
Anything else, D.R. Ball?
No, guys, I don't know. But let's just win Saturday.
let's win Saturday and talk about it on the voluntary reaction.
Hey, man, right, let's have some happy call-ins, not some drunk angry calls.
Yeah, maybe you'll be on Barstool again, D.R. Ball.
Yeah, that's my goal. Stay off that. Guys, you have a good day.
Thank you. Appreciate
it. D.R. Ball was on Barstool and voluntary reaction?
Yeah. He went viral last year.
Oh, I have to go back and find that.
I can't say what he said to go viral, being in public place of business as I am currently, but it's out there if you want to go find it.
Interesting. I want to add something too before we have to take a break in a minute. Like, I'm not talking about fans in this situation with Greg Sankey. I'm talking about universities and direct branches from the universities potentially making things worse in a situation where Sankey should be able to make the decision on his own. Do you see what I'm getting at? Like Ole Miss last night, Otis Reese felt like they were in a situation where it was so last minute, and it was coming up on it, that he had to release that statement and completely destroy Georgia. And that statement had to be approved by Kiffin and the SID department. It just had to.
I'm sorry if that statement made Greg Sankey and the SEC offices uncomfortable or upset Georgia, or is Lane Kiffin needling the office again as he was wont to do in his nine-month reign of terror in Knoxville. But at the end of the day, that should not figure into the ultimate decisions about whether or not these kids are eligible at all. Like, not even a little bit. Otherwise, I don't even know what to compare it to. It's like something Vince McMahon would do in professional wrestling or something.
That's a good analogy.
And I thought we weren't professional wrestling. Maybe we are. Maybe it is. Let's get a phone call. That Darren is up next. Good afternoon, Darren. You're on the drive.
Hey, Russ. I sort of agree with Bear. I mean, I don't think he wants to open this Pandora's box, but I do think he's got the perfect cover, with the pandemic and situation of 2020. I mean, he could just say, listen, this year we're going to grant all transfers, all waivers.
Oh, absolutely.
And we're going to do that extraordinary circumstances. And that doesn't mean going forward that we're going to, stamp everybody's approval. But, there has been a lot of talk, has there not, about, the one-time transfer rule anyway coming into effect. Is that not a rule that's coming up, or is that just something that's been talked about?
It is, but, again, the SEC could turn, regardless of what the NCAA says about one-time transfers, they can have a conference rule that you can't be immediately eligible if you transfer interconference. And I agree with you. I mean, he's got – I don't understand why he's doing this. Simply because he does have a ready-made, hey, this is what's going on. This isn't counting as a year of eligibility against any of the student-athletes. So that – I mean, he had cover – And for whatever reason, he decided to go in the other direction. So, I mean, we don't have to like it. We just got to live with it, kind of a thing.
Yeah, I just don't see the benefit. I mean, you know, if Kane had transferred to Michigan or Ohio State or somewhere, he'd be playing. And I don't really understand why the SEC would want to put themselves into a position where some of their better athletes are going to leave, have to leave the conference altogether if they want to play. I understand it from a, you know, you don't want Alabama and Georgia poaching each other or Tennessee trying to poach off. I get that part of it, but, you know, ultimately, all this lip service about giving a crap about kids is just, it's so infuriating when you think about $2.5 million that this guy makes. You know, it just makes me sick. But the whole deal, you know, we're going to come out on the wrong end because we're Tennessee, man. That's what we do. See you guys.
Thank you. Thank you, Darren.
I don't think we helped Darren very much there, Rex.
I'm still blown away by what Big Josh said earlier. This thought had not even crossed my mind.
I agree with him, actually.
What if these three players, their teammates, decide they're not playing this weekend unless the SEC declares all three of them eligible? It's three games.
I just, they would tell them, fine, you're going to sit. They aren't,
in a year where you're starved for revenue.
They aren't going to do that.
You don't know that.
That will not happen.
We didn't think Missouri players would be striking a couple of years ago. We didn't think these players would be marching in the streets over the summer. Things change. Situations change. Circumstances change. They absolutely could do that.
I mean, they could. I don't think that the three players in question would want their teammates to go that far.
If you're united, I'll tell you, if they're united and all three teams do it, there's a 100% chance the SEC reverses course. I guarantee it.
Ah, no way. You're crazy.
You think they're going to cancel three games this weekend voluntarily because of an eligibility issue? You're crazy, man.
You're crazy. There's no way in hell
the SEC is going to let that go down,
dude.
Play the game or go out of business.
You go on and live in your fantasy land all you want to.
Three games in a year where you're only going to have 10 games anyway.
And they're just going to go ahead and throw. I guarantee he would. Think he'd call their bluff. Like, all right, it's forfeit. South Carolina start off 1-0. Auburn start off 1-0.
Whoever
the hell Ole Miss plays is going to be 1-0.
Who has more to lose in that situation?
The three schools. I guarantee
The schools and the SEC. The players go play somewhere else next year. They'll be fine. They won't have SEC football this year. All those athletics departments, all those coaches, they go away. No jobs next year. It's over. I mean, what are we talking about here? We're talking about games.
How about the three schools won't have coaches? The other 11 will. They're going to play their games.
Okay, quick timeout. The drive continues. Fan Run Radio. We're live this afternoon. Old Ben Franklin Motors, 9711 Kingston Pike, where the weather's kind of cooling off, but the deals are hot on the lot this afternoon. We've got brand new Mitsubishis. Everyone rides. Why? Because it's easy in a Mitsubishi, and it's easy here at Old Ben Franklin Motors, 9711 Kingston Pike. Come on down. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. More of your phone calls coming up, Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues live from Old Ben Franklin Motors. Yeah, the Mirage is here. We've also got the Eclipse, the Outlander. Come check them out. Brand new Mitsubishis. $4,000 over the Kelley Blue Book value for your trade-in. It's all for you. Right here, Old Ben Franklin Motors, 9711 Kingston Pike. Come check it out. Our phone number, if you want to jump on aboard the G3 Help Me Hotline, 865-546-8200, your number to get on the show here this afternoon as we try to make sense of the Cade Mays saga, which just will not end one way or the other. Still twisting in the wind here a little over 72 hours away from kickoff. Meanwhile, life goes on over for the team, Trey, football team practicing again this afternoon, getting ready to go to South Carolina. Jeremy Pruitt today said D. Beckwith won't play. Apparently he hurt his ankle. I don't know if they're necessarily depending on him for big reps anyway. But, the team's got to be prepared.
Yeah, they had D. Beckwith had a little sprain. There was no reason to risk anything. You know what I mean? They'll be okay running back-wise, so... they'll do like a light walkthrough today in shells. It'll just be situational type stuff, probably about 80 plays. But they'll do, you know, just a walkthrough of each play. That'll be today. Nothing hard hitting. They will do the same tomorrow. Another light walkthrough with probably just shorts. And then Friday they will, do a quick little meeting in the team room and hop on a plane around 1 or 2 and head to Columbia. They got to get tested, though. Got to get rapid tested done. That'll take place. They'll get results back. Everybody who passes gets on the plane. If you don't, you stay in Knoxville. So, interesting day. Tennessee, it's good for them. They've got Warren Burrell back 100%, I was told. Still missing Tank McCullough from practice, but did get Warren Burrell back. That should help Tennessee with some depth on Saturday at that certain position. Aubrey Solomon back 100%, getting back in the motions of things. That'll help Tennessee's defensive line depth. One person, and I'm tired. I'm honestly, I get tired of asking the question to people that I speak with. Darrell Middleton was out there again, but he was in shorts and a towel over his head. Just wasn't participating in practice again. So
what a weird situation that is.
It's so weird. It's just this whole fall camp for Middleton has just been weird. And then all of a sudden, what I found funny was the guy hadn't really been around for 2.5 weeks because of, I'll just say, a fever. And they put him second string on the depth chart. So that goes to show you how that depth chart worked out, that most of that on there is not reliable information, maybe besides offensive line. But he probably won't be playing Saturday. I don't see how.
Well, at a certain point, if you're the coach, I mean, you have to make a decision there. Is he just going to like play when he wants to?
I don't really know. I don't. I'm not in his personal life, so I really don't know if this is something where he's still dealing with a fever, but in my opinion, you wouldn't be out at practice if you still had a fever. So that part doesn't make sense. And also the whole acclimation period. Well, during acclimation period, you're at least wearing a little bit of gear and you're, you know, getting back in the process. You know what I mean? Yesterday, Trayvon, here's an interesting thing for you. Maybe you and Bear are going to like. Trayvon Flowers, I was told, has had 11 interceptions in the last week of practice. Now, this is not scrimmaging and stuff like that, but just total, just 11 interceptions.
The human interception, Trayvon Flowers. If you do it in a game, that would be not. Actually, he did. I guess the last time we saw him, he was intercepting a pass against Mississippi State. But,
I thought I would add this in here too. You know, we've been talking about, you know, we've been talking about Tennessee working other guys in other positions just in case something happens and a player might not be able to go. Don't be surprised if you see some formations where Bryce Thompson and Trayvon Flowers are playing safety, Kenneth George and Alante Taylor are playing corner, and Nico Slaughter is playing the star position.
Exciting times for some exciting freshmen over there. We look forward to it on Saturday. Got to get through that that COVID test. You want to end up like Houston, where they've had all their games canceled so far. The other team.
I feel so bad.
Through that schedule. Poor Dana Holgorsen, man. The guy just wants a game. Can't get one. Stay with us. Hour number two of The Drive coming up. Bear will have your top four at four. Back with more from Olbin Franklin Motors. Coming up.
The Drive.